Now, if you're a parent and you're a fan of this program, then you know that a good science children's book is a wonderful thing. We mentioned one. We're going to get into mentioning a lot of them now, but it's not easy to sift the good stuff from the not-so-good stuff. So this holiday season, we're going to give you some advice from the people who know, and who better to help us than a member of our esteemed education team, Xochi Garcia. Welcome, Xochi.
It's nice to be here.
And let's talk about how did you decide what to choose? What criteria did you use?
First of all, I have to say it's so hard. There are so many amazing science-themed children's books that are coming out. It's an increasing flow every year. It's becoming really popular. But basically, I used three criteria. One, we looked for scientific accuracy in the books, as well as we could. There are fictional narratives that take some license, mm-hmm. of course. Then we looked at the journey, whether illustrations brought that science to life or whether the story was something that could be really easily folded into a kid's mind. And then we looked at engagement. So how engaging was the text for the learner or the child after reading it? So what could they do afterwards?
Yeah. And you had a large age range in your book choices, right?
Yeah, all the way from 0 to age 11. So children's literature is amazing because it spans such a wide developmental range. So it's really cool to read how books change over the course of those age ranges.
I want to bring on a few other authors who made a list that made our list of best science books for kids. Let me bring them on now. Dominic Wallman is the author of the Professor Astro Cat book series. And Deanna Hutz-Aston is author of A Nest is Noisy and other books. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you for having me here.
Now we have these.
Thank you, Ira.
You're welcome. We have these books in our office, and we keep all jockeying each other to read them.
Great.
We have to pry them out of Xochi's hand as she's looking through them. Deanna, how do you come up with the ideas for your books? Like a seed is sleepy, a nest is noisy.
Okay, I'll tell you how it started out. An Egg is Quiet was the first one, and it kind of went crazy, and that came about because all my life, I don't know why, my mother would tell me this story, and it's dedicated to her. Remember that time your best friend's little brother was 3 years old, and he was in school, and the teacher said, "Tell us a little something about eggs, Dusty." And he thought, and he goes, "An egg is quiet." And so my mom, I didn't remember the story, but all through the years, my mom would tell me that little story. And let's see. One May, I was in my yard and picking up eggshells and just going, why is one blue? Why is one speckled? Cut to the chase. My manuscript landed up on Victoria Rock's desk at Chronicle Books just when she was looking for an egg book for illustrator Sylvia Long. So that's kind of what kicked it off. And then my agent, Rosemary Stimola, said, "How about one on seeds?" And then butterfly.
But did you realize you were writing science books at the time you had these?
Oh, no, I didn't even know I was writing science books until An Egg is Quiet won what's called the American Association for the Advancement of Science, AAAS, and / Subaru, the car makers. And that's when they contacted me and said, "You've won the science book." And I said, "Science book? I write science? I'm just writing about what I love."
Well, to all of a lot of us, that's science stuff that we love. Let me bring in Dominic. Dominic, you have a science background, right? Did you plan to go into the children's book business?
No, I didn't really plan on it, but a friend who's an illustrator, Ben Newman, who illustrates the books, he got me involved when he had the opportunity to draw the books. And I jumped at the chance when I did because I love science communication, explaining science to people, telling people about all the things that I've learned.
And your book is based around a character called Professor Astro Cat.
Yeah.
how do you know That's how much right. information to include so that the kids can understand it?
Yeah, that's often a challenge. I'm fortunate. I've got a couple of nieces who are around the exact age range when I was writing all of the books, and so I'd imagine explaining science to them and trying to think about how they would take the information. So it's a lot of imagination, and then talking to them about science as well helps me a lot.
So, Xochi, what made you put these books on your list?
Well, I'll start with The Nest is Noisy, because this book can really be read in a bunch of different ways. It's got a poem stretching through the pages of the book, so you could just read the poem and study the illustrations. It reminded me of Beatrix Potter, who I loved when I was growing up. And these illustrations by Sylvia Long are really, the attention mm-hmm. to detail for nature is amazing. She is what I would call a naturalist, similar to Beatrix Potter in that vein. And then also the descriptions provided by Deanna are just really informative in like these tidbit ways that young children love, these little factoids that they can bring out. And then the Astro Cat series, immediately when I presented them to the kids in my life, they were captivated by the illustrations of Ben Newman. And after we finished reading the solar system book, they were like, I didn't know Mars had the biggest mountain in our solar system. And all of these little facts that made them in our age of technology want to go online and explore further. And that's what you want out of a science children's book, is not just staying with the book. We have so much information at our fingertips, so you can go further. And these books definitely light the flame of inquiry in kids, I think.
We got a whole series of books, and I'm going to have a senior moment. I can't remember the author, but I'm sure you will. But the baby books.
Yeah, so
particle physics for babies.
Yeah, that's the Baby University series by Chris Ferry. He's right now in Sydney, Australia, but he writes these books on like large concepts for very, very young kids. And I think the point of the books is not necessarily that they're going to learn quantum physics from the book. It's that even kids at a young age can have the language of science in their vocabulary. So as they develop and as they're learning words, it's awesome that they learn the word electron or neutron, or they learn about general relativity. And some of that may stick mm-hmm. and some of it may not. But with his newest book, Rocket Science for Babies, you can definitely take that off the page. And I know we talked about this because rocket science is principles of flight is one of your things.
My favorite topic. Why are planes flying?
And it's accurately represented, right? I think that's one of the things that hit us.
Yes, they did it the right way.
He's a physicist and he made sure. And one of the things that I respect about publishers of children's books, and this is more in the late 90s, early now in our time period, is that they bring on scientists to review the science in a lot of the books they publish. And so we do have a book like Grand Canyon by Jason Chin, where the back is full of citations and other facts you might want to know, because he cares that you have something further to go on and that it's accurate. So it's amazing.
This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Talking with my guests, Sochi Garcia, Dominic Wallerman, and Diana Hutz. And, of course, we have all these books on our website at sciencefriday.com/books. Let's go to the phones. Let's see if we can get one call in. Time's rushing. Hi, let's go to Natalie in Pittsburgh. Hi, Natalie.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So when my son was young, we read a lot of those science books, just like you're recommending. And so now what I'm looking for is, do you have any middle grade science recommendations? He just finished reading The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. And loved it. He read there's a book called Bomb that goes through the entire, the invention and the ramifications of the atomic bomb. But I just wondered if you had any recommendations for 11, 12, 13-year-olds.
Yeah, there is a great book that just came out called Ruby Goldberg's Bright Idea. Actually, I'm really excited about this book. I didn't write it because it didn't quite fit in our age range, but it's basically about this girl who's an inventor and she's in middle school and her trials and tribulations. But along the way, they talk about Rube Goldberg machines and kind of this spirit of invention. So I would highly recommend that book by Anna Humphrey, by the way.
Anna Humphrey, okay. We've read just about. Is there one book from? I'm going to ask all my guests that you can't live without this holiday season. You got to have.
A Beetle is Shy.
A Beetle is Shy.
It's so good.
Tell us about that.
Well, that was also, it was a AAAS Subaru Award winner, too. And let's see, Sylvia Long and I love Beatles. We love rocks. We love Nest, all of the things that we've written about. But I think what I like most about this book, in addition to the illustrations, is its dedication. and it's dedicated to the ladybug warriors, and that's who I consider. Guys can be ladybugs too. All of us who mimic ladybugs that go around quietly and beautifully eating up all the stuff that would destroy the aphids, that would destroy our food supply. And I think it's really time in this world that we go about quietly and beautifully, or not so quietly, with our art and our science and our technology and engineering and math, mm-hmm. and concerts, and do beautiful things to round up people to remember the earth, because I think ladybugs attract more attention than any other kind of camouflage.
All right, I'm going to leave it right there, because we've running out of time. Diana Hutz Aston, author of A Nest is Noisy. Dominic Wallman is author of the Professor Astro Cat book series. And Sochi Garcia, education program assistant, to invaluable to us here at Science Friday. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ira.
Thanks for having me.
Thank
you. Thanks.